And good afternoon, Muskegon. It's March the 8th, 2024. You know what time it is. It's time for Torn It to your show, for news, information, and more. For Muskegon, local, state, national, and international news. That's how we're holding it down. Let's bring in my co-partner, Pastor Melvin Burns II. How you doing?
I'm good, Brother Gregory T. How's it going?
Good. Back in the flagship, man.
I see. Yeah, you're on the mothership today. All right.
Covering the mothership. Hey, listen, some important things, Muskegon. First of all, how y'all doing out there? Hopefully great on this rainy day. These shows repeat themselves on our social media, 103.7 The Beat. Or M106. You can catch them on Facebook and all multimedia, including YouTube. So they do repeat themselves. So if you're driving and you miss it, you can go back and see it again. If you would like to be a part of today's conversation, please go to those Facebook sites, WVS 103.7 The Beat or M106, and you can be part of the discussion. Now, do me a favor out there. If you are watching or listening and are on Facebook already, which we see, we do have numbers already, please share this to your site. Pastor Burns, what does the weather look like?
Well, today we have a low of 39, high 47. It says 90% chance of rain, but we're going to up that to 100%.
Yeah, we get up that to 100.
Tomorrow, low of 30, high of 43. Sunday, breezy, low of 29, high of 39. Monday, the sun comes out, low 29, but it'll have a high of 50. Tuesday, low 39, high of 54. Wednesday, low 40, high of 43. And then the sun disappears again on Thursday with a low of 39. High of 53 and 40% chance of rain.
All right. Today is a very special day. Other than it being March, which the weather is crazy, but we'll take it. We have one of our favorite, I just can't say enough about her. She is the current clerk of Muskegon County. She is retired. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. She is one of the political analysts of this station, and she keeps it real. Put your hands together, Muskegon, for Karen Bougie. How you doing, sister?
I'm good. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Back in the flagship, trying to get myself prepared. How are you doing today?
I'm good. As you can see, I'm back in the vault at our office.
Where do they have you? Gosh.
They got me back in the vault because the new windows that they put in the county building don't allow for good reception on Zoom or anything. So I have to come in the vault if I want to have a decent conversation.
All righty then. Well, let's get to it. Karen, tell people a little bit about yourself. And may we say, from Muskegon and everybody that has flown, congratulations on your retirement.
Thank you. Yep, I just retired from American Airlines, where I'd been there a little over 10 years. And I was stationed in Chicago, and I absolutely loved it. So I got a chance to travel the world and get an opportunity to see different cultures. And it was a wonderful experience. So I retired in November. After I was appointed as the clerk here in Muskegon on May 1st was my swearing in. So I've been here ever since. I was working both jobs there for a minute. How, I don't know, but I was able to do that for about 8 months. And then now I'm free to do this full time.
It was wonderful for you because us sitting back looking at your pictures, our little places you're going.
It was I kind of miss it, but now I get to fly free. So whenever I get a chance to get a vacation, which isn't anytime soon.
Okay. Well, let's talk about, we got a lot to talk about. You serve as our county clerk.
Yes. And we just came off of a very successful early voting, which was new to Michigan totally, and the presidential primary election. So it went extremely well. We implemented the consolidated site. So I had 21 of the 23 cities and townships at a consolidated site in the Marquette County building in the meeting place. And everyone was extremely pleased at the way it went. The Secretary of State's office did a drop-in on the first day, and we got a glowing report back from them. Holton and Dalton did their own. And so everything went fine. We just finished canvassing on Wednesday because we had to wait until the overseas ballots were returned. So the canvass is done. It's now submitted to the state for the state board of canvassers to certify it. So now we're already getting ready for the May election.
Okay. How did the numbers look for the presidential?
For the early voting?
Yes.
We had 535 people come through in those 9 days at the consolidated site. Muskegon, the city of Muskegon, ran theirs in correlation with us. They had 100, and I believe Dalton had 100, and Holton had 45. So roughly 800, 900 people voted early, which is consistent with the way the numbers are showing throughout the state of Michigan. It's about 20% of the voters. So it wasn't too bad.
The next race is going to be won by mail, though, correct?
Yes. The absentee ballots were extremely high, which is really, really good because it gives another option for people to vote. They can vote by absentee ballot. They can vote in person during the early 9 days, or they can vote on election day itself.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Burns.
Is the number of absentee voters continue to increase?
Yes, we saw about an 80% increase.
What percentage of voters are voting absentee now?
It's probably close to, I would say, almost 65% of the voters, which is really, really good because it gives people an opportunity to sit down with a cup of coffee, look at all of the proposals, your candidates, study a little bit, and give you some time to think about it and research what you're actually voting for and who you're voting for. So I love no reason absentee ballot. I believe we're probably going to, you know, you're always going to have those people that just really like the election process and like to walk in and cast their ballot. But this is a busy time for people, and people have busy lives, and this is a way that they can still exercise their right to vote, but at their convenience.
You said something that I'll say, but you don't have to touch it. People study the ballot, study who you're voting for, and I just leave it at that. Okay. All right. So what are the stipulations for somebody that would like to be an absentee ballot, vote absentee, or now anyone can vote early now?
Anyone can vote early. If they wish to get a continuous absentee ballot on the list to automatically get one, they contact their local clerks and get on the list for absentee ballots, and they will get an application and the ballot mailed to them once their local clerks validate their voting status. They'll stay on a permanent AV list. And so for every election, they will get a ballot, which makes it easy. Oops, our lights went out. Which makes it nice. Which makes it nice that they don't have to worry about remembering, oh my goodness, May election's coming up, I got to get my absentee ballot. If they get on a permanent AV list, then they will automatically get one.
Now, what election is coming up in May?
We have several proposals, school proposals. We just got information that we're going to be part of the grant is having a recall election because we have Casnovia. So we'll get about 900 people from that jurisdiction. So they'll have a ballot themselves. And also Muskegon Heights is having a special election to fill their council seat.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Burns.
You know, I've never asked this before. If I get an absentee ballot and let's say I misplace it and decide I still want to vote in person, can I do that?
Yes, because a QVF, which is a qualified voter file, will have it indicated. The clerks enter in when they send out absentee voter ballots that that person has received one. If you choose to lose it or just change your mind and want to vote in person, you can do so. And the QVF will notify the clerk or the precinct worker that you've been issued one, and they will set it aside. They will destroy it, and then you can vote in person. So there's no way to vote twice.
Karen, talk a little bit about the working relationship that you have with the other clerks.
Oh, we have a wonderful clerks association made up of all the township and city clerks, and we meet once a month. And it's not only a networking time, it's an opportunity for learning. We have educational components, and we have someone that is focused on new legislation, training, and it's a way for clerks to come together, and each municipality is a little different. So, but they can share ideas, share the way they're doing things, and making sure we're all on one accord as how we're doing the election process. So our relationship is really good. I look forward every month to those meetings because it really builds solidarity and making sure that we're all doing the same thing the same way. So that's how you create an atmosphere of trust and making sure that the election process is well-oiled machine because everybody's doing the same thing the same way.
You talked about a well-oiled machine. Now you guys have to deal with the process of everything has to come down to you from like the City of Heights or Muskegon. The clerk has to walk that stuff to you. No more modems. It has to literally be brought down to you. Talk about that process.
Right. During election night, especially on state and federal elections like we had in February, the clerks bring in their results, their ballots, and they're entered in by us into the system. During federal and state elections, the ballots are handed over to the probate judge, who is Judge Pittman, and he takes the ballots along with police escort and locks them into a secure place in the county building until the canvass. And then the day of the canvass, which is always the following Thursday after the election, the chairman of the board of canvassers, who happens to be Bob Baker this year, he's wonderful, goes to Judge Pittman's courtroom where they're locked and gets the ballot and brings them to the Marquette office where the board of canvassers meets. We had 8 this time, and they represent both the Republican and Democratic parties. And they go through all of the numbers and make sure that all the numbers add up. If there's any questions about any ballot, mute ballots or ballots that were set aside, they question everything. The clerks have to make sure if there's any notations on ballots, if there's been a problem with the ballot, if there's a tabulator issue, they have to make sure that they put that in the board of canvassers notes, because they will call them in and ask them, you know, what does this mean? What happened here? They're very thorough. So they ensure that the election process is certified.
Question coming to you.
Bonita Threadgill. Hi, Karen. You are doing an exceptional job. Thank you for your dedication and service. Have you seen an increase in voter turnout with the practice of utilizing absentee voting?
We've seen an increase in the absentee voting. We'll really get a good opportunity to see the entire process, I believe, in August when we have the primary, because that's going to be a big voter turnout, and of course, November. But we have seen a significant increase across the state, actually, in absentee voting.
Now, that's a lot of work. Considering that you can't, they have to walk everything down. You guys have to tabulate, push stuff in the machine. What's the odds of August and November that we might not find out a winner until the next day?
There's a strong possibility. We have a really good group of clerks. So I think by going through this early voting, we have the system down pat now. This last presidential primary, I got home at about 1:30, which is pretty good. So I'm really thinking it's not going to be as long as I think we're anticipating, because they have the system down pat. As long as there aren't any hangups or with the tabulators or anything as far as any maintenance or anything like that, I think we'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. That's burned.
And I didn't look at the numbers. How many voters did we have countywide for the primaries?
I believe the last number I saw was 135,000.
Okay.
135,000. So we got 135,000 people. A lot of people taking advantage of that absentee ballot, which is, like you said, is excellent. You can take your time, study the issues like we do, and then mail them together. What is your, I'm not trying to get you in trouble, so I'll take the fastballs today.
Okay.
But the odds, when you hear the people saying that the system can be rigged.
Yeah. It's impossible. You would have to have all of the Republicans, all the Democrats in cahoots. They would all have to be part of the system, which is unable to be interfered with. A lot of people were asking me, well, are the new tabulators, are they based on websites? No, all it is a tabulator. There's nothing connected to the website. The ballots are secured prior to the election. There's nothing to interfere. There's no way to do it. The canvassers canvass the election to make sure that each ballot is counted, each vote is counted. There's absolutely no way to interfere with an election process. But I know that that narrative is out there. So one of the things that we decided to do was with the ballots themselves, in the printing of the new ballots for August and November onward, I'm having them printed on watermark paper so that it can't be duplicated. It's like the watermark paper we have for the birth certificates and death certificates. Mm-hmm. So it can't be duplicated. And the reason that came to mind was because we did get some FOIAs from, I believe it was a group called Election Integrity, and they wanted to FOIA our proof ballots. And the proof ballots have the tick marks. That's what we use to do the public accuracy testing and making sure that the ballots run through the machines correctly and that they're programmed correctly. And so that's what kind of brought to mind that we need to have another level of security. And that's why I decided to go with the election paper, watermark paper. We've coordinated with local law enforcement, central dispatch. So we're ready. Lori and I are actually going to Orlando, Florida in June to a cybersecurity conference dealing with AI and making sure that our election systems are totally secure. There's so many levels that and I think one of the things that people don't know is at early voting, we have on-demand printing, and the program, the machines are programmed to print what jurisdiction you're from. So it would be literally be impossible to circumvent that system.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's
the word. So you still get calls every now and then from folks that think they know somebody cheated and that did something.
Yeah, they still have that narrative going around about what happened at the city of Muskegon back in 2020. They haven't let that go yet, where the absentee applications were submitted, not ballots. They've changed the narrative and made it sound like it were actually ballots that were trying to be sent out, but that wasn't the case. They were applications, and the system worked because the clerk noticed the handwriting, noticed the same addresses, the amount of applications that came in, and immediately called the authorities. And now this whole thing is in the hands of the FBI, and Secret Service. So, and I know that they're working on it because I've gotten calls from people who circulated some of those petitions, and they're like scared to death because the FBI have left cards on their door and have talked to them. So they're still investigating that and getting to the root of, it sounds like it was somebody, of course, from out of town. And that's why all money isn't good money, I say, because they were paying people with cards. And you really have to be careful. I myself would not take up with somebody that I met at a grocery store who said, here, you can make $100 circulating these petitions. And, you know, it's just, if it sounds questionable, then 9 times out of 10 it is.
Okay, I must get this out. The views expressed, the views of Gregory T. Roberts, not the radio station, not Karen Boring, not Pastor Burns. If you have any problems with the next couple seconds, please see me. People, if you hear a dog whistle that nothing good happens in the Detroit, Philadelphia, Milwaukee, Chicago, guess who they're talking about? Hello, we'll leave it out there. Okay, now, that see me about that. Okay, which, that happens. All right, all right. Go back to Pastor Burns.
Karen, are there any changes the Clerks Association is looking to lobby for, you know, with the legislature upcoming?
The Clerks Association, I know we're looking at increasing the marriage license fees. They've been the same since 1960.
Wow.
Of $20. And out of that $20, the county only gets 15. I mean, only gets 5. The state takes 15. So I went to Lansing with under the invitation of Representative Will Snyder to talk to the legislature about the need to increase our marriage license fees. So that's on the table. Legislatively, they're talking about there's a bill on the floor to make sure that anyone that has a criminal offense cannot serve on the board of canvassers through the state and local canvassers. I just came out of a meeting today, so that's why this is fresh in my mind. there's also talk of the cities changing their charter or adjusting their charters to reflect when office holders can take office, because some of the charters have their winners taking office prior to the election actually being canvassed and completed. So there's going to have to be some adjustments in charters for that.
I can say we had that issue in Muskegon Heights. You know, I was telling people we had that issue in Muskegon Heights. But things changed from 20 years ago when we did the charter. And, you know, I'm not fully responsible, but there was a little history about why it went from changing in January to changing after the election, which I won't get into.
And the Heights was not the only entity that had to change. Northern Shores, there were other cities, because they had the same thing where the office holders took the office the very next meeting prior after the election. So it's just, you know, they went from 3 days to now 6 days waiting for overseas ballots, and that's what changed everything, because 6 days is a long time to wait. So we can't finish the election until pretty much 6 days after the election is finished. So it's kind of cumbersome. But that's the law that they changed recently.
Now you have a great staff there. But you guys do have to ask for more money. I mean, like registering and making sure your business is registered. What's that, $10?
Yes. Yeah, our fees are relatively low when you do a comparison to other cities of our size. So, you know, with inflation comes some increase in costs. So we're just taking it slow. We don't want to just throw the whole kitchen sink at everybody at once. So we'll start with marriage licenses, birth certificates. Fees like the marriage license are set by the state, so we can't just haphazardly increase the fee on our own.
You also, the clerk's office also license with guns?
Yes, we do CPL applications. And what happens is the individual comes in, does the application after they've completed their training and they have their certificate of training. They pay their fees. And then we send the information to the state police, who gives us clearance that there aren't any outstanding issues on their record. And then they notify us when we can give out the certificate, their card, their CCW.
How long does the average time does that process take?
Usually it's pretty quick. Usually about a week. It's not a long process.
I'm about to go there again. Pastor Burns.
Okay, let's you rest for a minute. Karen, in case people don't know, we'll do this a couple of times during the show. There's a plethora of things your office does. How can they reach the county clerk's office?
They can reach us by 724-7160. And we're also located at 990 Terrace Street, Suite 10150. We're located in the, we call it the Hall of Justice, but most people know it as the county building. And when you come in through the entrance, you take the first right-hand hallway, and we're on the very last office on the left. We will be moving on April 1st. This will be my big announcement. April 1st, we will be located at the Marquette campus. Only vital records, that's birth certificates, CCWs, death and marriage licenses, will be located on Marquette. So we'll probably be shut down for two or three days as we do this move. So that's coming. That's our next biggest project.
So not the whole county clerk's office is moving, just part of it.
Just the vital records. Circuit court records will be back on the sixth floor. Right now they're across the street at the Johnny O'Harris building because they're renovating the whole sixth floor. Mm-hmm. So in September they will be moving back upstairs. And so what they're attempting to do is make the county building, the Hall of Justice, everything to do with court related activities. So the register of deeds, vital records, the water resource, the treasurer will all be located at some point in the next year to the Marquette office.
Now, this is not your first rodeo. I mean, you served as county clerk before. Are you surprised at how politics have changed since the last time you were a clerk?
Absolutely. In fact, I wasn't sure I wanted to get back into the fray. Yeah, it's changed a lot. It's of course, more technical because of all the different things are constantly changing. Election laws are constantly changing based on the atmosphere and the political climate is what I've noticed. Things change because of the political climate. Like, for instance, not having modems anymore. That changed because of the conspiracy theories of being able to interfere with modems and that sort of thing. The level of security has increased because there have been so many threats towards clerks and election workers. They even passed a law that made it more penalties for threatening or intimidating voters or voter workers in the precinct. And so that's why I thought it was really important that we collaborate with the sheriff's department, the local police departments, and central dispatch to put emergency plans in place. So we've already had our meeting. We've already implemented it during the primary election. For those that came in, especially on election night or during the early voting, we had security. We had officers there standing by just to make sure that no one interferes with anybody's process of voting. And that was one of the pillars of my promise to the community, was that I was going to ensure that there was no nonsense in our polls and our precincts, that everybody was going to have the ability to vote in peace without any harassment, any threats, any fear of any kind of retaliation. So we had zero problems at our consolidated site. Now, this was outside of our span of control at the Muskegon administration building. They had a shooting outside, I guess, that day of election day. So they shut down the precinct. and secured it. But it was only about 10 minutes that it was on lockdown. But that was outside of us. That was just some young people deciding to take things into their own hands. But, you know, that's one of the things we want to make sure that our people feel secure and safe.
Pastor Burns, you better take the next question before I blow up on that issue of people messing around with and threatening people.
Beat it up today. Karen, we talked about the election and some of the clerk responsibilities, but you have some other statutory responsibilities as a clerk also. Why don't you talk about some of those?
Right. Statutorily, I'm the records keeper for all of Circuit Court records. I have two offices. The Circuit Court Records Office takes care of civil and criminal and family court records. They also make sure that they do the bail bonds and the sheriff sales. Anything Circuit Court related, they do divorces. They do anything over $25,000, civil suits, and then in vital records, we take care of CCWs, which are concealed weapons, marriage licenses. I take care of all the titles of the cars in the county. I take care of all the doing businesses. We take care of I'm responsible for all the minutes for the county commissioners. We do genealogy and, of course, birth and marriage and death records. Oh, and DD-214s for the military.
Just another and, has that picked up people inquiring about genealogical records?
Yeah, surprisingly, we have somebody in here. We have the Genealogy Society. They come in every Wednesday and they stay busy. There are people in here doing family history research and what have you. And I also forgot to mention that I'm over the juries too. We do the juror pools for the Circuit Court Circuit Court Judiciary of 14th Circuit.
How the numbers when it comes down to the jury pool?
The numbers like
as far as participation.
Well, I'd say if we call in 75 jurors, we may get 50, 55. So there's always a 10% margin of error. And what happens at that point, if they no show for a jury, they're sent out a failure to appear notice. And they can either pay a $50 fine, or they can choose to do community service, or they have a choice to go before the judge. If they don't do any of that, then the judge puts out a warrant, and they can pay $75 if they get picked up on the warrant, and then they're rescheduled for jury duty again.
Wow. Have you ever been called for jury duty, Karen?
I haven't, and I would really love to because I'm nosy. I want to know what goes on during deliberations, but that'll never happen in my lifetime now. But yeah, I thought it would be pretty cool.
I got called twice. I got dismissed once, and I had a case one time.
Well, yeah, it's interesting process, isn't it?
It is. I mean,
yeah.
Government. I was kind of excited about it, but
yeah. Yeah,
if you got dismissed, I wasn't real. I'm kind of glad I did get dismissed.
Some of the cases can be very heart-wrenching. Like we had the case with the mother and her son who starved the little boy to death. That was hard to watch and hard to see. So there's some cases that jurors, I believe, if they get called on those kind of capital murder cases like that, they should never have to serve again. Because they're so traumatized by some of the cases that they have to sit on.
Wow. That's in and out. We are talking to Karen Bury Deakins, the county clerk. This is March 8th. We're at the bottom of our hour. All right, Karen, I got to throw you a fastball. just one. And it's not bad, but how does it make you feel when you hear all the people though the accusations of fraud, when you know the level of security. And you guys have to go through FOIAs and all kind of stuff. Your thoughts or opinion?
It gets frustrating sometimes, but then I have to take into account that everybody doesn't understand this process. And if you repeat the same lie over and over again, it becomes the truth in your own mind. And so that's what's happened. A lot of the misinformation that's gone out about election integrity has gone out, and people believe it. That's why I try to, when I'm talking to groups, to really encourage them, we do public accuracy testing. That's an opportunity for the public to come out, test the machines, turn the paper upside down, turn it backwards, turn it sideways, see if it goes through, test the machines. But they don't want to do that. They want to just sit back and criticize and make these false allegations, and they have no basis. They have no proof. They have not one shred of evidence. All of it is, and that conspiracy stuff does get, it gets old after a while because you're constantly fighting the lies. So I just, when I go out and speak to groups, I just explain the process and explain to them that there's literally no way to circumvent the system. And then a lot of times I'll say, well, where's your evidence? What, give me a case. Show me what you're talking about. And not one time has that ever happened.
So let's go through the process. So if in the presidential elections that are coming up, or any election, there are several ways that you can test the machines. You can be a poll watcher. You can actually, I don't know if you need workers, but there are many ways that you can get involved.
Absolutely. And that's what I encourage people to do. If you don't trust the system, then become part of the system to make sure that's hello, your checks and balances.
Preaching proud now.
Yeah, I mean, that way you put to rest any of your concerns because you're right there. So if they start talking about conspiracy, they're talking about you. If you've been part of the process, and that will help eliminate that. But majority of the people that are doing these conspiracy theories don't ever get involved in the system. They just sit back and make these scariest allegations to workers. And the majority of precinct workers are elderly people that have worked these elections forever, you know, and know what they're doing. They go through training. It's not like they just walk in and start pushing buttons. They actually go through a precinct and electors training. So these are trained individuals, both Republican. We have to have the same number of Republicans as we do Democrats. So it's a fair election that's being watched by both parties. So to say that, you know, there's any kind of questionable activity during the elections as far as the processing, it's just absolutely ridiculous.
That's Burns.
Karen, not only the polling, but people can observe the board of canvassers also, can't they?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And normally, I've only seen one person normally there for the board of canvassers, you know, and surprisingly, one of the board of canvassers who happens to be on the opposite side of the aisle said the other day to me after we were finished, he's like, they don't understand. They don't understand what goes into this process. This is a lot of work and this is a lot of checks and balances, and there's no way anything could be spurious. And so hopefully she spreads the word. And that's why I told her, I said, well, go out and share your experience and explain to them what the process is, that there is just absolutely no way that they can put votes in that weren't there. The machines tabulate everything. The tabulation has to match the number of ballots given out. So there's a checks and balances at every level.
How important is the fact that we used to, as kids, go learn about this in civics or whatever? We would do mock elections, go down there and use the old machines,
yes, and
all that kind of stuff. How important is, number one, for that to come back, and two, for family members, like I always took my kids to vote with me to
right
the process.
Yeah, I think that's invaluable, and that's been part of the problem, I think, with our younger voters, those that are getting to be 18. And that's one of the things that we were working on going into the schools and bringing that back in. I don't even know if they have civics classes anymore. like we did. But I think it'd be really important to have an election day, you know, even if they're doing their class president and treasurer and that stuff, but use our machines and get them used to looking at what a ballot looks like and how it goes through the machine. So when they do reach the voting age, it's nothing intimidating to them. They know exactly what to do. So that's one of the things I really want to implement, along with having mentor programs for those high school seniors that are getting ready to go off to college and make their career choices. To spend time in our offices and see what it's like to be in front of the commission and taking notes and going through what we do here and looking at how the processes work. Because what's happening is people are getting in these positions like me, my age, you know, we're not super young, and we're not mentoring younger people to come behind us and fill those voids. This is not a job you can just walk into and just know what to do. It's so complicated. Mm-hmm. And it's a learning experience every day. Things change. Issues come up you've never dealt with before. You're dealing with the state. You're dealing with the legislators. You're dealing with Secretary of State directly. And so we need people that have at least been exposed to this type of information and career choice to see if that's something that they be interested in doing. I think we need to start mentoring younger people.
Mm-hmm. That's Burns.
You know, I'm asked this question, and 5 years ago, I think I would have thought differently, but do you think we'll see a day where we'll be able to vote online on our computers?
No. Yeah. I can't even imagine that. Yeah. Because that would be such a can of worms to open up, as far as, you know, there's too much interference with like Russia and Japan and, you know, them interfacing with our internet and the AI. I don't ever see that happening. I think it'll always be mail in and in person.
5-10 years ago, I'd have thought we were going to head that way, but I don't. We're kind of regressing where we want to see the bodies more these days.
Yeah, we're regressing back. I wouldn't be surprised if we ended up back with just paper, like we used to do.
Big green machines.
Yep.
But that has to be frustrating when technology has grown so far, and you can't even use modems.
True. I liked modems. You know, I could have my results within 10 minutes, you know? So I felt like, and I think we shared this before when I was flying one time and the election results were coming in so slow, and I just was ignorant to the fact that they had gotten rid of modems. So I couldn't figure out what was taking so long, but I unduly made that criticism, not really understanding that they had totally gotten rid of modems throughout the state of Michigan. So we're back to the old time driving them in from Casnovia and Ravana and waiting until they can get in.
Do you see it at one point in time that maybe they might return to some kind of technology that, and you not have this problem, or we're going to end up where you guys are always, the clerks are always walking the stuff back down to you?
Oh, well, I think technology will get to the point, you know, I think maybe the election systems people will come up with a way to do it where it's not internet based. It may be a separate line that they do with the phones or something. They'll come up with something. Technology moves so fast. I just don't think it'll be internet based.
Okay. Pastor Burns.
Yeah. You know, Karen, we talked about some of your other responsibilities. Is it redistricting? Are you part of the redistricting board also?
Yes, it would be myself, the treasurer, the register of deeds, and the sheriff.
Okay. So we won't see that in the near future.
Oh, no. Hopefully. Yeah. No, I don't want to do that. That's the only time that partisanism comes into play. And that's why I'm loving my job now. I can be really nonpartisan. You know, I just do my job, make sure that everybody gets the right to vote. making sure, you know, I could care less what party they subscribe to. I'm, you know, it doesn't make any difference. I just want to make sure that the election process goes smoothly and that everybody feels that their vote counts.
You know, I was talking to somebody about local government the other day, and you remind me of that. You know, you're elected partisan, but how few things you do on a daily basis have anything to do with, you know, with your party affiliation.
Yeah, on a daily basis, zero. Mm-hmm. Zero. Nothing I do has anything to do with how I feel politically leaning at all. Marriage license, death records, birth certificates, you know, it's just business. So yeah, I really wish this position was nonpartisan. I really do, because the job of a clerk is to be record keepers.
We'll talk offline, because I have a few county positions I'd like to see go nonpartisan, but nobody, when I said it, nobody agrees with me.
Yeah, I think it should be somebody other than the clerk, because, you know, you got elections, and I think that, to me, that's a conflict. But maybe when I become Secretary of State, we can address that.
There you go.
Okay. we'll be right there with you. Karen, talk to the people first that you work with, the poll watchers, the everybody that you come in contact, that they've been doing this for years. Talk to those people to encourage them that what they do is important.
Oh, absolutely. They are the core of what we do. We could not run elections without the dedicated people that we have working the elections. They're intelligent, they're dedicated, they're taking time out of their days to be a part of a democracy that will dictate how our lives go. And so I always make sure that I travel around to all the precincts and ask them if they need anything, thank them for being there, because I explain to them that they are the core of what we do. We couldn't do it without them. So it's very important that they feel safe, they feel secure, they feel prepared for each election. And we try to do that. And we have a tremendous amount of awesome precinct workers. With the early voting, we're starting to get new ones, because that's the inspectors for their early voting aren't necessarily the same inspectors for election day for the different precincts. So, yeah, they're our golden children. They really are, because we really appreciate them.
Now, this year, especially, you see a lot of people, and don't buy into the hype about people are staying home.
No.
Go out and do your due diligence. But you see people taking their vote and putting their vote aside to and stand away a party. You've seen a lot of protest votes this year.
Yeah, we had, I believe it was about 100 uncommitted votes. And to me, that circumvents the system. Why vote then? And it sends a bad message to people that really don't understand what's going on. There are other ways to get the attention of the candidates. And I just encourage everybody to get out and vote, because one vote can make the difference. And a lot of people feel like, oh, my vote's not going to count. Yes, it is. It could be the difference in us getting the right person or the wrong person into a specific office. So I just want to encourage everybody that voting is such a privilege. Having come from a family of civil rights people who, like my great uncle, died protecting the rights of blacks and poor whites in the South and women to vote. And there's been a lot of bloodshed. And so we're standing on the backs of our ancestors now, having the full rights and ability to vote.
Now you're talking to somebody that has not missed any election, not one, but talk to the people out there that are talking about, there are a group of people, citizens, that are talking about, because they don't like either of the candidates not voting.
Well, that's not a good thing either. Even though you may not like the candidates, you have to look at what the candidates stand for. And you might not like the person individually, but look at what their administration stands for. They're the figurehead, not so much the person in charge. So it's important to use your vote, even though it's almost like picking the lesser of two evils. But you have to make a choice. And I just encourage people to look at the platform, look at what the candidate stands for, look at their prior record, look at how they conducted themselves before they were in office, or the time they were in office before, or what they've done now, and weigh it out. This is too crucial of an election to just sit it out. This is probably the biggest election we will ever experience in our lifetimes when it comes to policies, when it comes to affirmative action, where it comes to border security, health benefits, Social Security, making sure that inflation stays in check. So many issues. We've got a war going on now that we don't want to see cross over into our shores. Mm-hmm. And so we have to ensure that we have a strong military leader that is going to protect our interests both near and abroad.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Burns.
Hey, Karen, let's remind folks the elections we have coming up this year.
Yes, we have the May 7th election coming up, and those are local elections. We have August 6th, which is the primary election, and all the offices, judiciary offices, presidential elections. I'm on the ballot. The sheriff is on the ballot, the prosecutor for the primary. And then November 5th will be the general election, where everybody's on the ballot, partisan, nonpartisan.
Is anybody running against you so far?
No, I haven't. The filing deadline is April 23rd, so we will see.
People, be smart. Stay home. Okay. do yourself a favor. Don't even think about it. Okay. All right, Karen, we got a couple minutes left, and I want to put your other hat on. Okay. I want you to talk to the air personnel that you had a chance to work with and the strife that they don't need to go through, because you had to live that life too.
Yeah. I just want to keep them encouraged, because right now it's a struggle, not only dealing with the general public, but dealing with the airlines. They're not being paid for boarding. So we would check in at 3 or 4 in the morning and not get on the plane till sometimes 7 to 8 that morning. And all that time is unpaid until the doors close on the airline, on the airplane. You're not being paid. So I would encourage my coworkers, I still call them coworkers, to stick to their guns, because they're in the middle of deliberations for contract negotiations. But to the general public, they think that flight attendants are there like air waitresses. We're not. They don't even train us on how to serve. They train us on safety, security, how to react in case of an emergency. We do CPR, learning how to deliver babies. We're nurses, we're firefighters. We learn how to fight fires with the actual equipment. We have to go up into the cockpit and be prepared to help the pilot or the co-pilot if need be, if something happens to them. That's why you see the flight attendants go up and close the door as the pilots come out to either use the restroom or take a break. So we were highly trained. Until I went into that field, I never knew how much training went into that job. We have doctors and lawyers and pharmacists and all kinds of people with different backgrounds working as flight attendants, and then they still work their other jobs, maybe on weekends or when they work around it. But they said it was easier to get into the top 10 of Harvard than it is to get into the airline.
Wow. Now talk to the people that take the flight attendants for granted.
Yeah. Just know that we're there for your safety. We are not waitresses. We're there to accommodate you and make sure that you're safe, and make sure that you're comfortable as possible. But it is now, it's become more of a stringent felony to assault flight attendants or be derogatory towards them. And the airline has taken pretty much a zero tolerance to that. So those who come onto the plane inebriated or just in a different headspace just needs to know that a flight attendant saying, "I don't feel comfortable flying with this person," will have that person removed immediately. So I just encourage people to treat people the way you'd want to see someone treat your daughter or your son, because we have men. Just know that we're there for your safety. It's a tough job because people come in and they've gotten harassed by TSA, and so now they're mad at everybody, and they come in and they yell at us. And in the 10, almost 11 years I flew, I really only had one or two instances where I would really can remember that anybody was rude or obnoxious, or to the point that I remember it. So there are more good people in this world than there are people that give other people issues.
So people don't get chopped in the throat. Okay, be nice. All right. Karen, once again, give us those telephone numbers, how people can contact the clerk's office.
724-7160, or we're located at 990 Terrace Street, the County Building, Suite 150, which is the first hallway to your right as you enter in, and we're the last office on your left.
Pastor Burns, you get to close us out today.
Karen, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Fresh air, you're a dear friend. You're an outstanding clerk. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. I love you guys. I love what I'm doing. I hope the community is pleased with my work, and I'm there for my community.
And we are there for you. All right, Muskegon, it's 3 o'clock, the top of the hour. It's time for us to go. Karen Bowie Jenkins, we thank you. Pastor Melvin Burns, II, we thank you again. People are giving their applause on the show. Thank you very much. Remember, this is 22. Go out, sow a seed. Go touch somebody. You never know what they're going through. Go help somebody. Take care. Love you. God bless. Have a great weekend.
Bye.